Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now just for you to answer your call and address your question or offer direction for the many times difficult, frustrating issues of real life. Call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, where the lines are wide open right now. That phone number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. That's John 13, verse 1. It's one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. And I love this phrase that he now showed them the full extent of his love.
Yeah.
You know, he had loved his disciples. They understood his love for them. But now here in this particular story, he takes it to the next level. He really shows them the full extent of what that love is all about. And John 13 is the great story of the foot washing. Jesus humbles himself. He takes off his outer garments. He wraps himself in a towel, and he goes and he washes the disciples' feet. Well, that was the job of the most lowly servant in the house. That wasn't something that everybody condescended to do, but Jesus did. And he was showing us what he was going to do for us at the cross. And then he goes on to say, just as I have washed your feet, you should wash each other's feet. So love pouring into us is to pour out of us into the lives of others. That's how this whole thing works. That's what Christianity is all about. Us receiving the love of God as expressed to us in Christ Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection. We receive that. Our hearts get filled up. And then they start to overflow into the lives of others. That's why at the very end of this chapter, Jesus said this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's the whole point of the message. That's the whole point of what Christ came to do for each and every one of us. First, connect us to the love of Jesus Christ, and then to connect us in such a way that that love starts to flow out into the lives of others. That's Christianity. Yeah. That's why he died. That's why he was buried. That's why he was raised back to life. That's why this gospel message is so important. As Paul wrote to Timothy, the goal of this teaching is love. Mm-hmm. Well, here in John 13, we get some really good insight as to what that love looks like. Yeah. It's more than a feeling. It's more than just a warm fuzzy that we have for one another. A lot of times we go around, we say, love your brother, love your sister, love you this, and, yeah. and we're expressing a warm fuzzy. And there is something, you know, emotional about the love that we experience as brothers and sisters in Christ. But if it stays there, then it's missed the whole point of the love of God. Love takes action, and that's what Jesus shows us right here. It humbles itself, and it rolls up its sleeves, and it acts on the behalf of somebody else with no strings attached. It is unconditional. It is not expecting anything in return. That's what this love is all about. That's how Jesus has loved us. And when we understand that, that's how we can start loving others as we walk in dependence upon him.
And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. If you'd like to add to the conversation, and we'd love to hear from you right now. Again, 844-32-BASIC. That's a toll-free number across the U.S. and in Canada, 844-32-BASIC. The full number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. That's why we're on the air live, so you can pose your question and get an immediate answer from Bob, Richard, and the guys here at Basic Gospel. So, Bob, back to you.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Corpus Christi and talk to Kylo, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Kylo.
Hello, gentlemen. Glad to talk to you again. I'm calling from, of course, from the sparkling city by the sea, Corpus Christi.
Wonderful.
Okay. My question is, The Bible mentions in Luke 1:32 and 33 that Jesus would be given the throne of David. Okay, is it the same as the throne of God mentions everywhere in the Bible or not?
Well, it's a good question, Kylo. And, you know, we see David, I'm reading through the Old Testament, you know, these days, and I'm really into Kings and Chronicles and seeing David and how he came to be, you know, dubbed as the king and the throne that he was to sit upon and all the promises that God gave to him that somebody was going to sit on his throne forever.
Yes.
Well, that was prophetic words about Jesus. Jesus is going to be the one that sits on the throne of David, and he rightfully does so because of his lineage, the bloodline that he came through. So he's the rightful heir to the throne. But it's more than just sitting on the throne over the nation of Israel. It's the throne of the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus Christ ushered in through his death on the cross. He ushered in the kingdom. We're a part of that. We're born again into the kingdom of God. So we're a part of that rule and reign, and that rule and reign will last forever. So that is a foreshadowing of what Jesus Christ was going to do through his kingship and his lordship.
Yeah. Another one of those Old Testament shadows.
Does that make sense to you, Kylo?
Yes, lots of sense. Thank you, gentlemen, and keep on, okay?
We sure will. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And we have room for more calls right now. And as I said, that's why we're on the air live, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your question or perhaps a little understanding of the frustration issues you may be facing in life, and we all go through those. And so we'd love to discuss it with you. If we can be of help, give us a call right now, 844-32-BASIC. Again, 844-32-BASIC. Well, guys, a very nice email from Cliff, who lives in Atlanta, says, I have a question at the end of this, but first, thanks to all of you, Bob Davis, Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the entire ministry team for allowing God to work in and through you so that many will come to Christ. He says, 14 years ago, I just happened to tune into your broadcast just days after I asked God to reveal the truth to me. I listened to what was said. I took the message to God in prayer and started reading the New Covenant because I was still in the old and I didn't know the new. And I am one of those listeners who you helped bring to Christ and have been listening and to you and happily giving to this ministry ever since. I absolutely love all of you and thank God for the resources you have available. Your online archive broadcasts helped me to get through the redundancy of what I call work. It says, now to my question. A friend that I fellowship with is telling me that the Lord's Prayer is indeed an applicable prayer for today, even though I explained to him that the prayer has already been answered. He is saying that God's kingdom hasn't come yet and that his kingdom is the New Jerusalem. This is his main sticking point. Do you have any scripture that I can present to him explaining how we're already in God's kingdom? And thanks again to all of you.
Well, first, thank you so much for the testimony and the kind words, the encouragement. We greatly appreciate that. And you never know about a radio broadcast, who's listening, what the needs are, but God does. And that is, I think, the genius of radio. We just broadcast this good news. We sow those seeds. And God plants them as he sees fit based on a person's need. He meets a person where they are, and certainly this was the case with Cliff. And so we are so grateful that God used this program to share the good news with you, to bring you to that point where you received life. You were born again. You went from death to life. That's what salvation is all about.
Absolutely.
And Cliff experienced that. Now, as far as the kingdom is concerned, you know, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again to be a part of the kingdom of God. It comes through new birth. We're born again into this kingdom. Paul talks about that quite often. You know, he went about talking about the kingdom of God and how we gain entry into that kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. And he says on a couple of occasions in his letter to the Ephesians and his letter to the Colossians, that we went from the kingdom of darkness and are now a part of the kingdom of God. We're part of this kingdom of Jesus Christ. So it's been ushered in. It's invisible to the world, but visible to us who know Jesus. And one day it's going to be made visible to the world. They're going to see the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And at that point, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is here. We are part of it. How do we get to be a part of it? Through new birth in Jesus Christ. So that's point one. Now, as far as the Lord's Prayer is concerned, it's not a prayer that we should be repeating, you know, day after day, week after week. I know lots of churches do that on Sunday, and not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but I think if we listen to the words of that prayer, we will see that Christ actually did answer that through his death, burial, and resurrection. Yes. Thy kingdom come. It's here. It's been answered. I think some of the things in there about forgiveness, about give us this daily bread, and those sort of things, it's been answered in Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. He is our sustenance. He is the one that we eat upon and feed upon and find fulfillment and satisfaction in him. He is the one that took away our sins. And so we see in this new covenant that God tells us to forgive others just as God in Christ has forgiven us. There in the Lord's Prayer, it says, please forgive us as we forgive others. So our basis of forgiveness is the fact that we've forgiven somebody else. In this new covenant, our motivation to forgive others is because Christ has forgiven us. So all of that was answered through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He ushered in a new covenant. It's this new covenant that we live in. And in this new covenant, God remembers our sins no more. I think that is one of the most important truths that we need to grab hold of, is to recognize that we can't blend the old with the new. We can't try to come up with an old new religion that's a mix. We have to let go of the old, set it aside just as God did, and grab hold of the new. We are genuinely and truly new covenant believers. Yeah. And as a new covenant believer, our sins God remembers no more. That's good news.
That's good news.
Now, we all sin. We sin daily. When we sin, there's something that happens inside of us. We feel guilty. We know we're guilty, even in spite of the feelings. We know we're guilty. We've done something against somebody else. And when that happens, the Spirit reminds us of the forgiveness that we have in Christ, so our hearts can overflow with thanksgiving, and then we can abide in the life of Christ and go and make restitution, be reconciled to the person that we've offended. That's how this life works. So we have to recognize that in Christ, we have forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
That's good news, and that's why it's so important for us to understand that we are new covenant believers.
Yes, indeed. Cliff, thanks for writing to us, and we hope that's been a help to you. And friends, if you have a question, can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, why, drop us an email. You'll find the link at basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address your question on a future event, our future edition of Basic Gospel. Right now, open lines 844-32-BASIC, 844-322-2742.
Well, let's go up to New York, New York, and talk with Valsa, listening to us on WMCA. Did I pronounce that correctly?
That very correct. Perfect.
Well, thank you.
Hello.
Well, what's on your mind today?
You know, everybody talks about the end times, a lot of people, and they say it's very imminent, that it may happen, that it will happen in our lifetime. What I feel is it may not, but a lot of people are making a lot of money out of it, like Irvin Baxter. I would like to know your opinion.
Well, there is a lot of talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and there's been a lot of talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ for 2,000 years.
Yes.
The apostles believed his return was imminent. They were looking every day as a possibility that Jesus might come back. And then the next generation believed the same thing, uh-huh. The next generation and the next generation. There have been entire religions or denominations formed around their calculations of when they believe Jesus would return. So it's going to be a topic that's always discussed. It's going to be a topic that's always thought through. If he doesn't return in this generation, the next generation is going to be raising that question. Could he return in our day? Well, there is that possibility. And when you look out there in the world, you think, yeah, it seems like we are definitely in the end times. But we don't know 100%. Uh-huh. We're not 100% sure of that. And even if we did know that he's coming back to tomorrow, it shouldn't change how we live today. Why? Because we have that hope of his return. And we also have the hope of when we're absent from this body, we're going to be present with him. Our future is secure.
Yes.
We can rest on that. There's nothing to fear. Jesus Christ has done all the work necessary. He has purchased us with his shed blood. We belong to him. So our future is secure. Well, knowing that becomes an anchor for our day-to-day lives. We can let that anchor us to something powerful so that we can give ourselves fully to the Lord here and now. And so I think we live each day as if Christ could return. But if he doesn't, we wake up the next day and do the same thing. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices, allowing Christ Jesus to live his life in and through us. I mean, that's the good news. Jesus Christ is here in us. I mean, he sent his spirit and has come to take up residence in us. So, Valsa, as a believer in Christ, Jesus Christ is living inside of you. That's incredible news, isn't it?
Yes. And there is no greater probability that it will happen in our lifetime than in our previous generations, right?
No, I don't think we can. I mean, the fact of the matter is, every day that we move forward in time is a day closer to the return of Christ. I mean, that's just true. I mean, there's going to be a point in time when Jesus returns, so we're closer to that time than they were 2,000 years ago, or even 100 years ago. But we can't predict that. We don't know. All the signs would tell us that his return is close, but all the signs in the previous generation were telling that generation that his appearance, his second coming, was close. We just don't know.
Okay, so a lot of people like Irvin Baxter are really brainwashing the people, you know. And they're collecting a lot of money, and they make it believe like that it's going to happen very soon in the next 10 years, and I don't think that's right.
Well, I don't really know much about him. I haven't listened to him or know any of his teaching at all, so I can't really comment, nor would I want to. I think all of us need to take responsibility with the teaching that we hear and run it through the filter of God's Word. God's Word is the standard for truth. And we should read the Word with utmost dependence upon God's Spirit to teach us what it means, and then rest in that. There's lots that are of things that are being taught out there that are dangerous. And so we need to have discerning spirits, trusting our teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, to assure our hearts and give us the confidence we need. So, does that make sense, Valsa?
Yes, very much.
Well, thank you so much for your call. We sure appreciate that. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you a copy of a book I wrote a couple of years ago called Love Is. I would love to put that in your hands, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. You hang on.
Friends, I want to remind you that the Hear, Believe, Live tour begins next month in Vacaville, California, and it will address each of these aspects, these subjects that that comprise the moniker Hear, Believe, and Live, straight from the Word of God. No matter where you are in your journey of grace, you'll leave this event being encouraged and eager to take the next step and allow God to work in and through you. Your life can be different, and it all starts at the Hear, Believe, Live tour, March 7th at Valley Church in Vacaville, California. All the information available and registration form available as well at basicgospel.net or by calling our operator at 844-41-BASIC.
Well, I just got an update. There's lots of people starting to register. It looks like Excellent. This is going to be the place to be, March 7th. So if you're out on the West Coast, don't miss this event. We've been doing a lot of work, a lot of study. We're excited about the material that we will be presenting. I think it's going to be presented in a very crisp way, a very focused way, that will really help you understand the dynamic of the Christian life and really give you some handles on how to live it out in all the different things that you're going to encounter every day that you walk on planet Earth. So come join us March 7th.
Again, the information available at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-41-BASIC.
Well, let's go out to Oregon and talk with Johnny, listening to us on KORE. Hi, Johnny.
How you doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you today, my friend?
Pretty good. I have a question concerning Isaiah 30:25.
Yes, sir.
I just want to know, do you believe that was a prophecy being fulfilled concerning 9/11?
I do not. I know there are some people that would, but I would not connect those dots and to say that was a prophecy.
Well, the reason I ask is because I don't have my Bible with me handy to quote it, but I believe it says something to the effect that it'll be heard throughout all the mountains, rivers, and streams the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall.
Yeah, it says this, in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall, streams of water will flow on every high mountain and every lofty hill. The moon will shine like the sun, and the sunlight will be seven times brighter like the light of seven full days. When the Lord binds up the bruises of his people and heals the wounds he inflicted. We know this is about the people of Zion. It's a prophecy more about Israel. So that's how I would read it. I wouldn't connect the dots and say that it was fulfilled in the tearing down of the towers in New York.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Johnny. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Well, you just take all the fun out of it, huh?
Well, this is a story about Jesus. The Word of God is about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. We want to tie everything to what's happening in America and all of that. Well, you know, we can do that. We can try. I know there are people who will have the Bible on their left-hand side and all the newspapers on the right-hand side, and they're reading the news and they're trying to connect the dots. You know, does this fulfill this prophecy or that prophecy? And that's okay to do. But Jesus is in this world doing something that is beyond that. And what he is doing is connecting people to his love by introducing them to his death, burial, and resurrection. His kingdom is going forth. He is building that kingdom. He is building his church. We are the building blocks. Anytime somebody comes to Christ through faith in Jesus, they become a living stone, and they are a part of this kingdom, this building that Jesus is working on here and now, every single day.
And that's the truth that you hear each day on Basic Gospel, everybody. And for those of you who have supported this ministry, we appreciate that so very, very much. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, and For Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. See you then. Bye-bye.